Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Take two. Yeah.
Did you say it?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. We're going to call this take two. I'm Jason.
Or three or four.
Yeah, I don't know what it is now. brother, we'll say a prayer and then we'll explain to everybody what's happening.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Just thank you for everything you do. Thank you that you have your hand on this. Thank you that you have your hand on us. We ask, Father, that you help us submit to you and submit to what it is that you want for us to say, Father God, and we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to add to that prayer, and please keep the lights on for this recording.
For the duration. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. That was funny because we're in the middle of conversation.
30 minutes deep, too.
30 minutes deep, and I don't remember exactly where the conversation was at, but I was like, God is good, and everything went dark.
Yeah, ended. Boom.
Mic drop.
The terrible part about it is, though, it corrupted the file, so it's gone. Like, we couldn't even use it. Stinks.
Well.
But God giveth and he taketh away,
yeah. I guess. Yeah, and don't, thou shalt not tempt the Lord, John. So.
You're using my name again. Don't do that. He's referring to the fact that before we went, I said, God is good, and kind of looked around. Are the lights going to stay on?
Okay, so we'll have to kind of rewind and refresh on this. We had Monday night had a really, really good men's Bible study.
Yeah.
We challenged, well, actually you challenged, you come up with a pretty eventful night about how we need to be back in the Word.
Yeah.
That we're all kind of falling away from it. Yeah. And I'll let you take this part of the story. Because this was your.
Yeah. Well, so the way it kind of, I guess I'll try to kind of tell you how it evolved for me and the reason I came into it the way I did was I had this, you know, I see all of you guys. I love all of you so much. And I'm so deeply, that I have such deep feelings for you guys that, like, I see your struggles and I see where you're at and I see some growth and then I see some not. And it's like, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm letting them down. I'm letting these guys down. Something I'm doing is not right.
Yeah.
And through it all, you know, talking to God all day and stuff like that, he's like, look, that's not your job. Yeah. You know, part of it is your job, right? Part of it is y'all's job. I can only do so much. It's your responsibility. I will say that I have my part in it and that I have challenged us before, like, we need to be in this Word.
Yeah.
We need to be spending time in it. Like, we've talked on here about the power of 100 and how 18 minutes a day is 1.25% of our day. And, like, how we cannot not sacrifice that much time.
Yeah.
But I'm just as guilty. Right. So I came to the table like, look, man, we need to be in this Word. Like, if we really want to change, if we really want life change, then we have to get in it.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, I'm not even saying we need 18 minutes. 2 minutes a day. Just start with that. Yeah. Or 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day. That's 0.5% of your entire day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Between sleep, work, and all the family and all the other things we have to do. Look, 5 minutes is really not much to give. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was so grateful to all of you because all of you got real – you were super receptive, and then every single person at the table started tossing out ideas about what we can do.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was like, maybe I'll start sending out a nightly or a date every morning. I'll send out like, hey, today I'm reading the book of Thessalonians or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you were like, well, there's seven of us. What if each one of us did one every day? And then it was like, okay, what?
At 8 o'clock, someone send a message.
Yeah. And it was like
your day, and this is what you're going to read.
8 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock in the morning. And everybody got real. They were just super receptive, man. And what happened there made it very, very encouraging to me.
Yeah.
And it just made me feel good. And then I got a little bit silly about the whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
Yeah.
And about how, like, the image of that final battle scene where, you know, Peter Quill takes hold of the Infinity Stone, and he should be dead instantly, right? But he isn't. And then, you know, all the rest of the Guardians start putting their hands on him. And yeah, it's like, again, you can watch the scene and see what I'm talking about. But the truth of the matter is like, what I saw when I was watching it was just how much stronger we are when we have a unit of people. It's not just us by ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that's why I sent that picture this next morning. And I was like, just telling you guys how much it encouraged me. And then, we're so much better together. And truthfully, I believe that we can change the world. That group of seven men can change the world. Can we change 7 billion people? No, but we can sure change the world around us.
Yeah.
Right. And that can change the world around them, and that can change the world around them, and eventually, on a broad scale, change a whole bunch of people.
Over enough time.
Right. Yeah. And interestingly enough, we talked about this and about how we I've been seeing a lot of things on TikTok about how to like go viral, like superficially, essentially. Yeah. And then we talked about like how we want like natural growth.
Yeah.
Because what are you accomplishing?
Well, yeah, if you're paying for views,
sure.
I mean, you're really not getting those views. All you're doing is throwing money out there to look like you get those views. We really want people to watch and to be and to listen and to be engaged. And we ain't out here looking for, oh yeah, we got 5 million followers, but we purchased 4,999,992 of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we ain't got the money for that too, by the way, because it's very expensive to promote your stuff. And I won't lie, and I will say that I promote when an episode drops, I put in the bumper sticker Wisdom. I record that, and hey, this is what the episode is, and you can find us here on TikTok, and I put it out on Facebook and stuff, and I promote that. I'm not paying what you have to pay to get to viral status. I promise you that, because it's a lot. But I feel like trying to get it in front of as many faces as I can it's a commercial, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to pay for a commercial. That's how I feel. That's what I'm doing. It's a commercial. But I don't invest anything as far as that is concerned, like into actually put, like, every day when we put a scripture out, I don't do that. Every time we put anything out on, every time we put one of these out, I don't do any of that stuff. Like, we're not paying for that. Like, I guess if this were a business, so to speak, that would make sense. And I guess in a way, because we're private, this isn't a church and we're not asking for donations, and I'm not ever going to. If somebody chooses to, that's on them. I'm not asking for that. But we're trying to create merchandise so people will purchase, and that's kind of a business venture at that point. Yeah. And maybe I should, you know, you got to advertise that, right? Yeah. And then you got to pay for advertising. So But, you know, I just think the idea of natural growth, it will grow on its own.
Yeah.
The longer we do this, the more persistent we are, it'll grow.
Yeah.
It's no different than what we were talking about with getting into God's word. The more persistent we are, the more consistent we are. You're going to see growth. You're going to see change.
You're going to start to see change. Yeah.
And I found it interesting. I found it cool that, you know, Tuesday night, Philippians chapter 1 was what was shared. And it was, I read through it, and it was, you know, everybody's heard me talk a lot about not wanting to be a liar, you know what I mean, when I'm teaching, and how unconfident I am, like, in myself, and, like, just not wanting to be one of those guys that's teaching falsely. And again, we've also said, at least you're concerned about it.
Yeah, well, 100%. I mean, if you're never in the back of your mind thinking, hey, what am I being as honest as I can be, or am I being as truthful as I can be, then are you really even? I mean,
yeah, there's a really good chance you're going to be lying.
Yeah,
right. So you know, Pastor Richie brought it up a few weeks ago about, man, instead of, you know, we get paralytic because we'll be like, is it me or is it God? Is it me? Is it God? Is it me? Is it God? And then I don't know, so I'm just not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of just trusting that God's telling me to do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, I ask God every time, don't let me lie. But then I'm afraid that I'm lying. Why wouldn't I just trust that God's doing what he does?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but that's the human aspect of it.
Fair. That's fair.
That's overanalyze.
Overanalyze this.
Yeah. Yeah, you mean that's what we do.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Overanalyze, undertrust. I mean,
it's a shame. It makes all of this so much harder, you know?
Well, what it, I don't know that I would say that it makes it so much harder. I would go more along the lines of, this makes it, it makes it more genuine that you are concerned. It does make you, it makes the whole situation more human, and that's what we're trying to be here. We're not trying to pretend we're saints.
Yeah. We don't.
So if someone's listening to a struggle that we're having in a human way, then they're going to possibly relate better.
Right. Yeah, we talk a lot about having organic conversation and not super rehearsed, not rehearsed.
Yeah.
Nothing is rehearsed.
Nothing is ever anymore.
Yeah, sometimes we'll be like, hey, dude, what you got? I've been thinking about this,
but that's all.
Yeah.
We don't sit down for 45 minutes and, okay, we're going to do the intro, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. About 4 minutes in, we're going to start on this. And about 9 minutes in, no. It's just
it's none of that.
I can't even tell you how many we've recorded that we haven't even touched on a subject that we were originally bringing to the table.
I can give you a good example. Last week.
Last week.
What was last week?
Last week we spent talking about basically about suicide prevention.
And the week before that was with Matt.
Yeah.
And with Matt, we had a specific topic, and then that's not what we talked about at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's trying to be submissive to the Holy Spirit and, like, speaking because of what God wants us to speak about. And you know what? Look, when I went back and edited last week's episode, I was like, man, this is a powerful thing that we're doing right here.
Yeah.
This is, you know, again, we're coming from a point of a bent of men, right? Obviously, it's about everybody. I don't want anybody to want to take their life. And if you're thinking that you should go or that you should take your own life, please, please reach out to somebody. Yeah. Please reach out to the suicide prevention or suicide hotline or whatever you need to do.
There's a number you can text. We talked about this in the last one.
Yeah, we put it out there. Yeah. We did. We put it out there, and we pushed on it hard. And I you know, I want people to get the help you need, right? And interestingly enough, I come around and I start talking to people about stuff that they're kind of dealing with, and then finding out, like, they're discovering that having a group of people to talk to is freaking important.
Yeah.
What a novel ass idea is that. you know, it's sadly enough, as men, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the other things that we talked about at the table on Monday. It's like, look, and we had some pretty interesting moments happen that night. Like, I stopped Tanner in his tracks and was like, hey, bro, I'm right here. Look at me. I'm in my eyes. And you need to stop with that. Whatever that is right there, that discouraging thing you're doing and beating yourself up, shit, go. Get that out of here because that's not what you're here for.
Yeah.
Did you make a mistake? Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. You admitted it. Let's go. Move forward.
Let's carry on.
Let's carry on. Yeah. Carry on, my wayward son.
Yeah.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest.
Oh, my God.
Am I really quoting Kansas right now or Boston? I don't remember. It's one of the two.
The fact that you were singing is why I was laughing.
I don't know if we could call that singing, but good try.
Mouthing words. You were mouthing words.
Oh, no. And this is what happens when it takes three takes to get to where we are at.
Yeah. Cheese and rice.
But the truth is, like, I'm so passionate about that group, right? That group of seven men. You know what I mean? One of them is my father.
Yeah.
Right? You, Kevin, literally like brothers to me.
Yeah.
Like blood to me. You know, Tanner's pretty new to me. So, like, you know, I still feel like, I don't know. We're cool, we're close, but I don't know that we're there yet, right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Ronnie's coming around. Harley's coming around.
Yeah.
I'm so passionate about you guys, and I'm passionate about my own walk. Like, I don't want to stay where I'm at. I'm tired of watching us stay where we are instead of moving past it.
Yeah, but like you said, we're responsible for our own walk.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Part of what I liked Monday night was everybody being so willing to come up with, you know, everybody volunteered for their day.
Yeah.
That they're going to send their book for us to read, the book and the chapter.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, cool with that. You know, I suggested it one time, and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'll take Monday," or "Oh, I'll take," you know.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we went around the table, and everybody got their days assigned to them.
Yeah.
The part of it that I really didn't like is that we have all drifted so far that we had to have that.
Yeah, I get that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was great, but at the same time, it's kind of a hang your head moment. Like, dang, man, really?
Do we have to have that?
It's like getting called to the principal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, we really had to have that just to enjoy something that is our God given right.
Yeah, to redirect ourselves.
Yeah, this mic stand don't go tall enough.
You're a little taller than I am. I have a different mic stand than you.
I keep trying to pull it up. It's like, that's it. That's all it's got.
I feel you, Mike Stan. I know exactly how you feel.
Come on.
Anyway, you know what? I agree with you, and I understand that point that, you know, man, it really, it's like that. That's the thought in your mind. It's like, really? Have we gotten this far away from where we need to be?
We've wandered this far off the path that we have to have essentially a come-to-Jesus meeting over us getting back into the Word.
Yeah. Well, yes. And that's what we talk about being held accountable.
Yeah.
Right. And being held accountable isn't getting beat up. It's just calling it to attention. Right. And then being accountable is being, damn it, you are right.
Yeah.
I am not where I need to be. That is not where I should be doing. And I need to come right back toward the path. Yeah. Where's the path? It's in that Word.
Yeah.
Right. That Word is a lamp unto our feet. That's how the path is lit for a reason, right? Yeah. That's what we say all the time. And it's lit because we're going to get off it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get so far away from it, it's a glimmer in the distance.
Yeah.
You know, we've been out at the lake, you know, and you see somebody's campfire hey, across the lake. Just
yeah, and it's probably raging over there.
Over there, you know what I mean? The closer you get to it, right?
Yeah.
And there it is. That's exactly what we're talking about, right? Like, the closer you get to the path, that light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Yes, we have to be reminded, but that's why we have a group.
Yeah.
Right? Finally, for the first time in my life, you know what I mean? I have a group of people, and I hope that that group of people is willing to look at me and be the same.
Yeah.
Be willing to call me to account.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not beat me up, not be mad at me because I missed the mark, but say, hey, bro, you know that's not who you are. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be over here.
Yeah.
And I can go and me be a man and go, damn, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. It's not being convicted. It's not being beat up. It's just being accountable. Yeah. You know? And I think that that's a very important part of the whole process. Adam wasn't accountable. So why, we got the worst example ever from the first created being.
Yeah.
You know, whenever God came to the garden and was like, did you eat the fruit? And he's like, she did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How typical of us is that, though? You know what I mean? Like, I don't blame my wife for nothing. I'm just saying, like, how quick we are to point fingers at somebody else for why we do stupid stuff.
All looking for a fall guy. 90% of people won't own up to if it's them. There's always a way they can weasel around and get it to be someone else's fault.
Right.
You know, when you got, if you do something at work or you get in a car accident or... Everything is just always, no, man.
Wasn't me. It's your fault because you were parked there.
Yeah. You shouldn't have been stopped at that red light. Or in my case, the emergency response vehicle shouldn't have been sitting in the middle of the lane with his lights on. You know what I mean?
I've just realized that I said earlier somebody was texting you, and I was like, do they not know what we're doing right now? And I was like, oh, yeah, today isn't Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Thursday.
I'm so used to
everybody's, you know, tonight was supposed to be date night, too, with my wife. Oops. But
sorry, buddy.
She understood. We had, you know, just chaotic week.
Yeah.
It was nice that the girls got together last night for their own thing.
Yeah, it was.
That was pretty awesome. It's kind of cool, honestly.
Yeah. Gave them an opportunity to do something different.
Yeah, and do something for themselves, you know. But so on what is it? Next Wednesday. This is null and void, has no point in the podcast, but it just popped up in my head. So I had to ask, that's our week off, right?
We're going to go an extra week, remember?
Okay, on both.
Yep.
Okay.
Do both because I want us to be off on the same week on both.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah.
Sorry for all the listeners. It just hit me. I was like...
Okay. Oh, you brought it up?
Yeah, I got to explain it. So we'll explain it.
Okay, so we're doing 3 on, 1 off. In our groups, instead of taking extended breaks, we're going to go every month. We'll go 3 weeks on and then take 1 week off and then get back together. 3 weeks on, 1 week off. This coming week, which is Labor Day on Monday and then Wednesday, that would be our week off. However, I have an event at the church the following Monday, so I can't do our group that Monday on September the 9th.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're going to extend it to 4 weeks and then we'll take a week off.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be off on Monday and then still have group on Wednesday. So I'm like, we'll just extend both out an extra week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It just, you know, look, God took rest too. And I think it's important to take breaks, but we realized last time we took a break that we took an extended break and it was too long and it was having a negative effect. Month. Yeah. We took an entire month and that might be part of the reason we're in the moment we're in right now where we feel like we're so far away.
We all talked about how it felt like, it just felt like a landslide of negativity going through our lives at that point.
Yeah. I agree.
Everything felt like it was kind of getting, that's like spiraling out of control real fast. Like,
yeah. Yep. It really did.
Yeah.
I felt the same way.
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden I'm super unconfident. I'm super doubtful. Like,
yeah. Crazy thing is now we got to do all that work over again. Yeah. You know what I mean? We've done all that work and we got to a certain point. And then it was like, okay, guys, we're going to take a month off. We all need a break.
I was also leaving. I was leaving the country.
Yeah, you took an extra, kind of an extended break because you had a trip that you had planned. Or whatnot. Yeah. And that threw off our podcast stuff.
Everything got
wacky. And then I took vacation and that got wacky. You know, it's crazy, but that's the point. And I think that the reason that I'm so really kind of strong on that right now, because I'm really talking to myself too. I talked on this podcast, on the episode that dropped today, I talked about how I was on vacation and we went to a bookstore and I found a, what do you call that? Devotional.
Yeah.
I found a devotional and I was like, guess how many times I've opened it since I've been back? And you're like, twice. And I was like, yeah, twice. He's like, the day you bought it and the once since you've been home. And I was like, well, I didn't count the day I bought it.
Yeah.
So I've actually opened it twice since I got home. Now I've opened it a few more times since that podcast, but it's the same idea. It's like, man, I'm not spending enough time in God's word. Yeah. I look at God's word every day so that I can put something on our social and that so I can put something on our YouTube. But I'm not really reading it, man. I'm just looking for something to put on there.
So you know what's funny about me? It's not funny about me. It's really sad about me that this is what it is. I pick up my Bible more to dust than to read.
Oof. Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I pick up my Bible more to dust it off and dust around it than I do to actually read it. You know, if it's getting used, it's not going to get dusty.
That's fair.
Yeah. Accountability though.
I just got three arrows in the heart.
But I mean, at least I'm man enough. I'll sit here and tell you that.
Yeah.
I hate it. But
what do we
It didn't dawn on me until Sunday.
Right.
We're straightening up the house and I picked it up. I've like kind of brushed it off. I picked it up and I was like, hey.
There's dust on this bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only reason mine doesn't have dust on it is because it's sitting on the dining room table. So when y'all come on Mondays, it's there and I'm touching it. Yeah. A lot of times I'm not opening it anymore. We haven't been actually going directly into the word. That was another thing that I was hoping would come out of this concept of us sharing something to read every week, you know what I mean? Or every day, is somebody would have interest and we could all read it together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you know what I mean? That it spoke to me. I heard this, I heard that. Okay, let's open up. Let's read it. Let's talk about it. You know what I mean? Because what we were doing before is we would just pick a book and we'd start reading. Yeah, I know.
That's why I keep looking over there.
I know. I do too. I do too.
And I'm like,
well, that time is wrong.
Oh.
It's 8:11, not 8:25.
I'm sitting here like, all right, man, they're 25 minutes late.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to name drop because.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. It's something we have to get used to doing every day, but we will get this.
Basically in a nonchalant way calling him out.
It is. He is. And you know what? That was another thing we talked about. If we were going to be sitting here recording the podcast and
it comes up,
we would take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And I hope that somebody decides to take the initiative to do it.
I'm just going back to make sure. Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
So,
you know how long it took me to get through Ephesians?
Ephesians chapter 6?
Six, yeah.
How long?
11 minutes.
It took 11 minutes. It took me more than 5 minutes, I believe, because I read, like I said, well, we lost that recording.
I read it almost twice, though. Like, I read through, and I was like, then I went back.
Was there anything specific that jumped out at you? Other than other than the full armor of God?
Well, okay, so how, you know how I am, you know how my mind works. I had to read through it twice, and still, when I got done, was
kind of like,
yeah,
yeah.
No, it's so hard for me to understand most of it.
Yeah, but that's why we're supposed to do it together.
Yeah.
Oh,
did we got something?
He said, "Give me 5 more minutes." Yeah, but again, I think that that's why we do it together, right? And I think that's why it's important for us to take this journey and do this mission together. And the fact that, you know, maybe again, we kind of said, you know, maybe keep a note beside you when you're reading it, or, you know, if you're on the Bible app, you can click a button and hit notes and take a note of a scripture right then and there.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I have a question. It's okay to have questions. And then, you know, maybe something that's like, whoa, I'm not real sure why, but this is hitting me really hard right here, right now. You know what I mean? And so the very first night was Ephesians chapter 6.
That's a really short book, too.
Yeah, it's only 6 chapters.
It's a really short. I mean, like, chapter 6 is really short.
24 verses. Yeah, 24 verses. And the big part about Ephesians chapter 6 is the full armor, right? And at the end of all of that, okay, we're not going to go through the full armor. We're not going to do that. But at the very end of it, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. He's talking about praying for each other. Not just praying for yourselves and praying for your needs. You know what I'm saying? Pray for all of us because we're all struggling.
Yeah.
You know? And then he says, and pray for me too.
Yeah.
Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Right? Because he was the one who was meant to bring it to the Gentiles. I find it that it's going to be, I'm hoping...
Who wrote Ephesians?
Ephesians is going to be Paul. Philippians is going to be Paul. Most of it's going to be Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
Is it still going?
Yeah.
I thought you hit the power button. That's like when you reach out. I did,
but it asks you, are you sure?
Oh. So I was like, no. No.
At 33 minutes?
No.
We almost had take 3. Son of a bee. Yeah. But I didn't. It didn't. It's still recording.
Okay.
One's full of bloopers.
I was like, as soon as I saw you grab it, I was like.
This mother trucker. No. Thankfully.
We're going to have to try this again in the morning.
Thankfully, it's smart enough to say, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. In all of that, in all of the. Sending, you know, everybody recommending a book, a chapter, all that, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. At some point, we're going to be running into the same material.
That's okay, too. That's okay, too.
I mean, so...
What's your goal? Is your goal to read the Bible?
Yeah.
Or is the goal to...
But let me ask you this.
Okay.
Then you can answer it. The response you had was like, okay, that's okay. But how come we're so concerned about having the same material on this show?
I don't know. It's a good question. Because honestly, this is what's going to happen. The more we talk, eventually, the more we're going to run into the same issues. Yeah. Or not the same issues, but the same concepts are going to come up over and over again in life.
Yeah, the same topics.
Forgiveness may come up, and then we won't talk about it again for 6 to 8 months. And the next thing you know, we're going to have, man, I'm dealing with this situation in forgiveness, because we're all dealing with life. Yeah. And life happens, you know, and we're all going to fall short of the glory of God, right? We're all going to fail.
So you see what I'm saying about maybe when we're doing this, like we're too hard on some of the things that aren't ourselves for some of the things that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, man. I think it's a mindset situation, right? I have to get better at I have to get better at trusting God.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, you know, man, we're not trying to say the same thing again.
Yeah.
Understanding that the reason
there's someone out there that may be the only episode they hear, and it's right.
And the reason it's coming up is because there's still an issue inside your heart.
Yeah.
You know, because God's going to continue to speak to you. He's going to continue to meet you right where you're at, right? And I think that that's because we're trying to keep it fresh and all that. But at the same time, keep it fresh or have a real conversation.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, a real natural conversation, not just.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess maybe we don't want to consent. We don't want to have these conversations and continue to and sound like we're staying where we were.
Yeah.
Right. Look, this is a lifetime journey. You know what I mean? You can grow past things and still have to deal with them.
Yeah.
What was that wisdom that said you may have to fight the same battle more than once?
That was last week.
Was it last week? No way.
Yes, it was.
No way.
Yes, it was.
I'm fixing to open this book and find out.
Yes, it was last week. I told you.
Okay, I didn't trust you. I'm sorry. Yeah. Margaret Thatcher, you may have to fight a battle more than once to win it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the deal. That's just the deal.
What, you know what's funny about that, too, though? Tomorrow, I won't even remember that we talked about that. But you bring it up, and I remember it was last week. You know what I mean? Like, my short-term memory is
I think
trash.
That's why I didn't trust you there for a second. I was like, I don't know about that, bro. Yeah,
you've heard me a time or two.
But you were dead on. And I think that what happens is it gets discouraging to think that we're still fighting the same battle.
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Yeah.
Of course it's discouraging because nobody wants to have to walk through the same pile of crap day in and day out multiple times a day. But it's not discouraging. I feel like it's not discouraging because if you're still fighting that battle, it means you haven't given up.
You're still fighting. Yeah.
You're still fighting.
Yeah.
Which is something that a lot of people don't do.
Yeah.
So it does suck to, I mean, to kick the same stone 30 times and it not move. Yes, that sucks.
You're going to get some broken toes.
But to still stand there fighting, to still stand there trying to fight that fight,
right,
means that you haven't given up. So you're conquering, and that's all you really want to be able to do is just know that, okay, he may be attacking you, but you're still fighting. You're not letting him win.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how much you have to fight. Just don't give up. Don't let him hold the crown.
Right. Well, we talk about fighting from a position of victory.
Yeah.
You know. And then you'll say that, and then people will be like, but if I'm already victorious, why am I still fighting?
That's another thing, too.
It's because you're still in this world. And as long as you're in this world and you're not in the glory of the kingdom of heaven, the battle has got to continue to be fought.
You just answered that question when you said, why do we always feel like we're having to fight the same fight?
Yeah.
And then you just said, if I'm in a position of victory, why am I still fighting? You just answered your own question.
I know. I'm going to answer a question with a question, but that's God's job, not mine.
No, but see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the human aspect of it. So we already understand, but we both know.
Yeah.
The fight is okay. If we never fought the fight, where would we be?
Gosh, I don't even want to speculate where I'd be.
Chains. It doesn't. Yeah, it's nothing good. Nowhere good.
Yeah.
So fighting the fight is. That's, and look, man, we may lose every fight, but we're still gaining skill in how to fight that fight. So eventually.
Yeah. That's why we hold accountable, not beat up.
Yeah.
Right. We hold accountable because we know we can be better. We know we can be better. We know we can be better. I know the next time I face this, I'm going to be stronger.
Yeah.
Still may lose that fight, but I'm going to fight it again anyway. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to fight it again anyway. You know, that's
I think the reason that it's so disheartening because we can't see what we're fighting. We only feel what we're fighting.
That's true.
So for men in a physical confrontation, you can see what you're fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a spiritual confrontation, you can only feel it. And men aren't built to deal with feelings anyways.
Right.
So I think that's why it's a little harder for us to really digest what's happening, because it's we're fighting a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the enemy is not man or people.
No.
The enemy isn't the people.
No. We're not fighting flesh and blood.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's ideas even that we're fighting. It's like
we're fighting ideas. We're fighting temptations. We're fighting addictions. We're fighting, you know, he can put things in your life that you wouldn't even imagine the enemy is putting in your life.
Well, the enemy's created a pretty tempting world.
Well, yeah, look around.
Oh,
this is,
I ain't got to look very far.
This is the most probably, okay, I think we got something here. Matthew chapter 4, through all temptation, trust in the Lord. How freaking crazy is that?
Okay, well.
Oh, my God.
Well, Bumper Sticker Wisdom fans or followers or listeners, we are going to stop for a few minutes, and we are going to inject Matthew chapter 4.
Yes.
This is now a thing. If this happens on nights when we're in podcast, if we
it will happen, not, it just whether or not we're done recording before it happens is basically what it's going to be.
Oh, this is a great one too. Gosh,
hold on, hold on. I gotta have it.
Get your Babel app.
Yeah,
Bible app. I said Babel app.
Get your Bible
and get your Bible out.
Okay. Hold on. Matthew chapter 4. Philippians 1. So when was Philippians 1?
That was Tuesday.
Okay, so I haven't read yesterday, because the last one that it shows on my history is Philippians 1.
2 Corinthians 4
was
yesterday.
So that's, okay, Matthew chapter 4. This freaking mic has a major freaking sweet spot.
Yep, right in the middle.
Yeah, where that little thing is on the bottom.
Yeah, where the heart is.
Okay, chapter 4,
yes, sir.
Verse 1. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Okay, sorry to interrupt. The reason that this I was whoa is because Monday night, this was one of the topics that we brought up.
Yeah. Yeah. How can we fight this battle if we don't have his word?
Yeah.
Because how did Jesus fight this temptation?
Yeah.
With the word.
Yeah, with the word. That's why this was blew my mind when he sent this. Okay, sorry.
It's great. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." I'm being reminded by Jason how I was tempting the Lord earlier.
Yes, you are. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Don't do that. Next, look how persistent he is. Look how persistent this enemy is. The devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," he said, "for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." This scripture right here. Then the devil went away and the angels came, took care of Jesus. In one of the other books of the, In one of the other four Gospels, it describes this same story and says that the enemy went away until another opportunity came.
Yeah.
Which, again, reminds you how persistent
yeah.
the enemy is. And then the header of the next part starts. It says, the ministry of Jesus begins. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and came and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He calls his first disciples. Yes. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Fishers of men, baby.
Yeah.
They left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets and calling them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Dang, they just left Zebedee in the boat. Like, see ya, dude.
Yeah. Peace out, rabbit.
Hey. So you know what? That it's a reminder of which father are you going to follow, right?
Yeah.
He didn't call Zebedee. And look, I'm not saying Zebedee gets left behind in general, but or in the grand scheme of things, but this ministry thing means sometimes sacrifices have to be made, you know, and sometimes people get left behind. I'm sure they came back and visited their father many times, you know yeah. what I mean? Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever the sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, or he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River. It kind of reminds me of watching the Chosen.
Yeah.
Well, so, hey, in the midst, we stopped what we were doing and
yeah.
read the chapter, the book and chapter that our brother shared with us, and we're committed to do that. If it so happens that we're recording, today was one of those days. Maybe today was one of those days where God decided that's what he wanted to happen.
Yeah.
We always ask that he have his hands on it and that he guide it, and whatever he wants to happen happens. And it's interesting that we're sitting here talking about the difficulty of the world and the temptation and all that kind of stuff. And then that's the book
yeah.
that gets shared. And again, it just reiterates the point of getting into his word, because how does Jesus defeat the enemy?
With the word.
With the word.
Yeah.
The human self.
He very easily could have.
The God Jesus.
Turned rock to bread and been like, there you go. Now get away from me. Or jumped.
Yeah.
And been like, there you go, get away from me. But no.
No. And that's the human Jesus, right? That's the human Jesus. That's not the God Jesus that did that.
Yeah.
He chose to not be God for a minute in that temptation. He chose to be human.
Yeah.
Which he's proving to us that we can do it.
Yeah.
We are not going to be successful 100% of the time. Probably not. But in his strength, we can. Right?
Yeah.
In his strength, we can overcome. In his word, when we're in it and when we're leaned into it, we're submitted to it, we're committed to it, you can't help but be changed.
Yeah. Can't help but be better.
Can't help but be better.
Yeah.
Instead of going 1 for 10, we're going 3 for 10. And guess what? That's a Hall of Famer in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was Brother Ronnie. I appreciate him for sharing that today. Yeah. And it was such great timing. It's just interesting how God works, man. Like, yeah, we had 30 minutes recorded already. We're sitting here. We're doing our thing. I don't know if we were doing good or not. I won't be able to tell.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times by the end of this, sometimes we're like, I don't know, brother. And then I listen to it. I'm like, it's great. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And then this time I was like, it was just funny how it worked out. Cause I was like, God is good. Boo. It went dark. It was like
pitch black.
Really? And then it all came back. And the box said, hey, file's been corrupted. Shoot. Son of a bee.
Yeah.
And Brother Jason crunching on some strawberries.
They're so good.
I don't eat candy like that.
That's my problem.
That's a gift from my dad. He's the one who bought those.
It's my favorite candy ever.
Really?
Yeah. Well, so simple, and you can't find them nowhere.
Amazon.
They're so delicious.
little tiny strawberries that are crunchy.
Yeah, little strawberry-filled bonbon hard candies.
Is that what that says?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did not know that. I did not know that was a bonbon.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to go off into another topic or not. I had that one that it continues to come out of what happened on Monday, and just thinking about that scripture in Philippians chapter 1 about when Paul was talking about, like, maybe corrupt type leaders preaching God's word, and, like, you know, I could see how us as humans, this is what's happened to the church, yeah, and why people are so skeptical of the church is because the leaders of the church have been not quite so upstanding.
Yeah.
And
that doesn't go for every church. I mean,
no,
it just, but there are a handful.
There's a lot of really good examples.
Yeah. And also too, you
got pretty sus over there.
You really got to think about the people that attend those churches. Like, how do they respond when new people come in? Are they welcoming? Are they standoffish? I mean,
yeah.
A guy like me could walk into a fresh church where no one knew me, and they'd be like, "What's this dude doing here?"
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Same for me. Because, like, you see how I come into church, bro. Like, I'm not coming in dressed to the dines, and I've got my tattoos out, and I'm like, "What's up, guys? How you doing?" Like, I'm not. I'm still 100% on the Lord. I'm still 100% about the Lord while I'm there. Not just while I'm there, but while I'm outside of there, and, you know, and all that. But I think it's one of the things I like about our church so much, man. It's just like, it's led with humility from the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it obviously stretching out, like, hey, look, I've been called to be a chief reminding officer and to remind you of some things, but I'm dealing with the same things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the approach I take. And I think that's probably why I like it so much.
Yeah.
You know, but just the idea that, I'm going to read the scripture. He says, those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. And that's the point, right? Like, even if the person delivering the message has a foul motive, it's not about them. It's about you. Yeah. And when you're receiving that message, if it's changing your heart to Christ, then how is that bad?
Yeah.
You know, again, you choose to give and they do foul things because they just want to get rich. That's on them. That has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway,
yeah,
I'm really, really excited and curious about where this is going to lead going forward.
Yeah.
And as long as we stay committed to it. And I found it interesting that, I'm sorry to keep going on this.
No, no, no.
I found it very interesting that one of our brothers asked how long this group was going to go. Like if there was an end to it. I found it interesting.
Like he was concerned that he was like it was going to end soon.
Yeah.
Like this has been going on for a long time, dude. Like
we're at least 6 years, 5 to 6 years in. It's not going anywhere. And I'm not going to. I loved your response. As long as you show up, it's going to keep going on.
Yeah. As long as you show up.
Word, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to last until you quit coming.
That's
and
it.
And that's on you. It's still going to keep going, but it's not. It's going to stop. It's going to disappear for you. That's it.
Yeah. I just found it very interesting. I thought it was a really, part of me was like, wow, why would you think that there was some danger of it ending? The only, and maybe that's a confidence that I've been exuding or a lack of confidence that I've been exuding. Because I can't lie that I haven't felt that way. Like, man, none of this is working. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the lies of the enemy. I know that. But I keep fighting them.
Yeah.
I keep fighting them. No matter how unconfident I get, I keep fighting. I'm going to persistently do this.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually really easy to keep going to our men's Bible study. Just like it is easy to do a lot of the other stuff, the things we do. Mondays are just kind of it's like church. If you start taking breaks from it for too long, it gets harder and harder to go back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you attend every week, it's easier and easier to stay in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
true.
So I do have I have like the corniest dad joke ever.
Okay. I'm waiting.
My dad says bees have sticky hair because they use honeycombs.
Honeycombs.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that until the second laugh.
Yeah.
Honeycombs.
Because they use honeycombs. Lay it on me.
No reason why I would pick this one. It just kind of, as I look down. Mother Teresa, if you judge people, you have no time to love them.
Oh, deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
I don't know that it had anything to do with what we talked about per se, but.
No, but that's deep.
Yeah. It is.
Judge less, love more.
Judge less, love more. And that's our mission. That's a mission that we're on, that we try to be on. And it's part of the purpose here. And. And also trying to motivate men specifically to kind of, man, we got to talk to each other. We got to find someone to bounce our shit off of.
Yeah.
Because if we keep holding on to it, man, it's a cancer.
Yeah.
It's a poison. It's, you pick any number of adjectives or ways of describing them. I'm so thankful to God for all he's doing in me, in you, through you. I'm so proud of all of it, man. I think I told you last week that I went back to episode 12 and I listened all the way to this one that just came out. I don't know. I hear so much good stuff and I hear God in it so deeply, and I'm so proud of the fact that we're so submissive to it and allowing him to just continue to work even when we're not feeling it. Like, you know, I know the moments that when we were sitting at this table going, I don't have it today.
Yeah.
You know, and then hearing what comes out and going, man, God is so good.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not tempting the Lord. I'm seriously, God is so good. There's
been several times too that
it's a lot more often than we want to admit, I think, honestly. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. And we're going to do it until the wheels fall off, and we've been doing God's will willingly, and it ain't gonna stop today.
Yeah.
So, for Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Jason.